Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Jeff. Very kindly. Now, word has circulated that there's a photo of you from your prom on social media. Ron, did you hear about this?
I saw it, and I assumed it was him, but it doesn't look like him. First of all, in that picture, it looks like you're 8 foot tall.
I know, right?
I'm saying it's
lurches.
I said, that can't be Jeff. But then you're identifying it as you. I would have never, if somebody would have told me, look at this picture and guess who it is, I wouldn't have guessed you.
The pink cummerbund, though, on the white tux is a really good look.
How did that come to be, Jeff, the pink cummerbund?
First of all, back then, looking like you did.
Had to match the dress.
Back then, looking like you did, how did you get a date?
Well, that's another really good question.
I thought you looked great.
Somebody was desperate.
You had the Art Garfunkel hairstyle going. That was tremendous.
Yeah, we were talking about Zion Williamson and how he wore the white suit. So I wanted to see who wore it better. I think I did.
Very handsome man. Thank you, Jeff.
See you.
Ron, your column today was outstanding. I just read it, and the lead is pretty good. The lead reads like this. Dave Barker threatened to kill me.
Kind of gets to the point, doesn't it?
Gets me wanting to read the rest. John Candelaria challenged me to a fight on the Pirates plane. Chris Benson asked me to meet outside of the clubhouse to settle things once and for all. We heard the Parker and Benson stories yesterday. The Candyman story is interesting. First, that you traveled with the Pirates on their plane. Secondly, what happened there?
This was way back. I might have been at the Beaver County. I think I was still at the Beaver County Times. And that was back in the day. Occasionally, you would travel. You would travel with the team. I would go with the team, you know, in like September in the pennant races and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He just didn't like something I wrote and made it a point to confront me on the plane. I think there was probably alcohol involved. And he dared me to stand up, and I stood up.
He was a big guy.
He would have killed me. And I said, I stood up. He challenged me to stand up. What am I going to do? And they said, throw the first punch. And I knew I couldn't win in that situation. I didn't. No, you. And then people jumped in, saved me. We later kissed and made up, if you will, and we coexisted fine the rest of the day. If I'd see him tomorrow at the ballpark, we'd chat amicably. It was a very uncomfortable moment.
We wouldn't. I can tell you that. He was still a little irritable later in his career. I did a 30-year look back at the 79 Pirates and innocently put together a Where Are They Now box, Ron? And I had Candelaria, just the town, the city that he lives in, because I got that information. Just the city, like not his address. And apparently a couple of letters somehow made their way to him and I guess weren't complimentary from fans. And he blamed me for that. And I got a text that was really, really disturbing from Candyman and sent him one back. And all I said was, I'll pray for you, John. That was it.
Yeah, he still shows up at Pirates spring training.
Yeah, I've seen him.
Puts
there.
On a uniform. No, I mean,
he's still big, I can tell you that.
Oh, he's a big man. I think he's got to be 65 now, I would think, 66. He's
now, take us onto the plane with the 79, 78
I was
Pirates.
On that plane coming back from Baltimore after they won the
you
World
You told me
Series.
That.
It was chaotic in there. I mean, I never got to see Willie Stargell on the plane, the hero. It was just, and I'm trying to write, too. I mean, they're partying, drinking, celebrating. I'm trying to write my piece because, I worked at the Beaver County Times, which was a PM paper. So I landed whatever it was and went right to the office and worked all night. But it was quite the scene.
How about the candy fight night? When I traveled with the Penguins, I'm trying to recall, it was coaches and executives at the front of the plane, then broadcasters and media people, and then behind the curtain in the back, it was the players. Similar for the Pirates?
I can't remember that, Joe, but yeah. We were segregated on the plane. There's no doubt. You couldn't just sit wherever
you
wanted.
So Candyman would have had to walk up probably to the middle of the plane, tap you on the shoulder.
He found me.
And then bring you in front of the plane. Did he drag you in front of the players?
No, he just told me to stand up right there. I just stood up in my seat. It was not.
It must have been amazing.
It was not somewhere where he dragged me or anything.
What if you did throw the first? If you let's put it this way, if you threw the first punch, it better have been a good one, right?
No,
it better have ended the fight right there.
Yeah.
It needed to be a Buster Douglas punch right there.
It was. He'd have killed me.
That is amazing. Do you think that the relationship between athletes and media people has gotten worse, better, or the same over, let's say, the last 30 years?
You know, I was
years?
Trying to think of that as I'm writing this column. I would say it's not. It's different. I don't know if it's better or worse. It's different. You know, first of all, these teams that now have their own sites where they're trying to control the message, okay? There's also so many bloggers out there now. There's also so much media, social media out there that we see these players get into hissing contests with. It's not just the media anymore. It's fans that attack them and they attack back. So I think it's different. I had more confrontations early in my career than I do now. Maybe that's because these guys just, who cares what I think?
That's the point. Yeah, I mean, that's the point I would jump on. And my opinion is, Ron, that it depends on how you define better or worse. I think it's worse these days because back then we could have more relationships with players, good and bad. And I think that it was more real. The word I would describe now is sanitized, where
you can't get one-on-ones with
players. Yeah, they've become more schooled in how to just, tell you whatever and move on. Teams protect them more than they ever did. I think it was a healthy thing, this stuff that you're describing. In the end, this was colorful. This was fun. This was the wild side of sports.
It's not
in
real
ways.
Fun when Dave Parker's standing over you threatening to kill you.
No, though. But it's a hell of a story.
It was almost comical, though, because it went on so long.
And then when Foley jumps in and says, I was going to say something too, but I think Parker took care of it, basically.
Yeah. I'd written something Foley didn't like. He's standing there like watching all this. And afterwards, he comes over to me and goes, Ron, I didn't like what you wrote, and I was going to yell at you too, but I don't have the stomach.
I love that.
After watching that.
So. And I think it's too bad for fans, actually, that these days it has become way more sanitized is the word I would use.
Well, you can't get one-on-ones. I was talking to Jim Leland about this the other day. It was just a different time. There wasn't so many people around. I could get a one-on-one with Leland anytime I wanted. I have to almost beg to get a one-on-one with Clint Hurdle. I mean, it's just different because there's so many more people now. Back in those days with Leland, there might have been two or three beat guys and a couple columnists, and Leland enjoyed it as much as anybody. And he gave me a great line about this the other day. He goes, I always appreciated if someone, was willing to work a little bit to maybe get something a little different. He said, I admired the work ethic.
Yes.
So I'd find time for it. And he also said, you got to know who you can trust and who you can't. And he's been burned over the time. But he goes, I miss one-on-ones too. That's what he said to me.
When I think of my career, I think of hockey. And I think of being on the beat in 97. And in fact, was talking with Kasparaitis about this, a month or two ago. I did a piece on him during the playoffs because they were playing the Islanders and he had played for both teams. And we both agreed that, it was more enjoyable then. I mean, I go into a hockey locker room now and I feel like I'm treading in sacred territory with gods. Back then, you shoot the you-know-what. You just sit down, talk to whoever you want, whenever you want. And I understand from the team's perspective, they want to protect anything controversial being said, God forbid that, and it's just become a different animal. And I'll be honest, I don't enjoy it.
It's not nearly as much fun.
I don't see the point in it.
Why would I
walk into a locker room after a game for what? So I can get the same quote everyone else can get?
None of it is as much fun as it used to be.
This part of your column is unbelievable, Ron. There were times I deserved to be yelled at. One was when I referred to Steelers lineman Ray Snell as Ray Smell after a bad game.
Terrible.
That's incredible. Take the story from there.
Terrible. He just had a bad game, gave up like three sacks, and I was a smart ass in the paper the next day. I was working for the Pittsburgh Press at that time and described him. I said something about Ray Snell, or should I say Ray Smell? And it was, as soon as I saw it in print, I was horrified. It was a horrible cheap. I could have just said he was terrible. I didn't have to cheap shot that. So it comes out that afternoon. My phone rings at night, my home phone. We didn't have cell phones back then. My home phone rings. Ron, this is Mike Webster.
Oh, no.
He had got my phone number, and he was kind and sweet and, you know, not the least bit vicious or anything like that. He goes, Ron, I think you're better than this. It was really unnecessary what you did, and I think you owe Ray an apology. And I said, Mike, I couldn't agree more, and I apologized the next day. It was, you live and learn. That was a real, it was one of my most embarrassing moments.
Have you had any of those? Story.
Have you had any of those?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where you did something you regret? Or
yes.
Wrote something you regret?
Yes.
Well, I want
several
to hear,
times.
I want to hear your stories, too.
I'll tell you next. I'll tell you.
I got
you
one
most
more. The Kirk
regrettable.
Ferentz story is my most embarrassing moment.
Let's tell that one next, and
okay.
I'll tell you mine. 412-928-9370. If you want to join this conversation in any way, shape, or form.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.